Welcome to Series 2 of the 1 Year No Beer podcast.
If you haven't hit subscribe yet, then hit that button so you don't miss another episode.
Hi, I am Jen Fairbairns.
I am Rory Fairbairns. I just want to welcome you all to Series 2 of the 1 Year No Beer podcast, 2.0, where we are going to be discussing...
Oh, we have so much to discuss. We have been listening to our previous episodes and listening to the feedback and the reviews, and we saw what you guys loved and want more of. And so this is what we're going to deliver. What does that mean?
Stories of transformation.
My wife once found 1 Year No Beer and kind of put me out of that. And I thought, hold on a second. Actually, is there a way to do this? Because the only way that I... I suppose the shift was... That you either had a problem with alcohol, a traditional problem with alcohol, or you didn't, and everything was fine. It was all hunky-dory. There was no middle ground where it was just getting in the way and a bit of a pain in the ass. And when I found 1 Year No Beer, it was kind of like, yeah, hold on a second. Maybe there's a way here that, you know, we don't have to make this absolutely terrible, you know, what's the word? Character flaw that I have. Maybe it's just getting in my way.
Well, I don't know how you've created it, but it's the community. It's the members. It's the people. It's just such an amazing non-judgmental. I mean, we've got everyone in there from really heavy drinkers who are struggling health-wise to people who are just grey area drinkers, and it's so non-judgmental. It's a safe, confidential space. Such a different way of life now, and doing different things. Like we say, never would have done a triathlon, never would have done a Spartan. All these things would have been just out the window, telling myself, yeah, this is normal. This is just what normal people do.
It meant something. It meant something to me. That was the biggie. Also, when, you know, you knew a lot of people, you know, and that just, I'm not one for typing stuff into a group or something like that, but I found myself more and more getting caught up with other people's stories. You would get support from other people. You started putting your own stuff in, and that feeling of community. And it wasn't just a community. It definitely wasn't a community of people going, oh, woe is me. Look at me. I can't drink. I must be a failure. It was a community of people going, right, I'm alcohol free. There might be the odd blip. I might be struggling here and there. But for the most part, more and more, I'm becoming alcohol free.
If you start focusing on other aspects of your life, career-wise or goals, or then it's even easier to just think about the whole AF stuff.
And why do we limit ourselves? And this is why I think you're such a good spokesperson for this, of, you know, being able to transform your life, not just in an alcohol-free way. Because another point of this podcast for you guys is, it's not about the alcohol. Like we are alcohol-free movement, but it's also transforming your life. Yeah. The alcohol is the first step. But like for you, when you say it just became a no-brainer, because once we just remove the attachment to that, you have the rest of your life to do whatever you want, right?
Yeah.
And that is your story, really encapsulate, because you're like, oh, look, that, what's that? I want to go and do that. Oh, what's that? Oh, I want to go and try that. We should still go and do that, even though we're parents and we have a serious job or we have all this stuff. Oh, but I studied for so long and to become a lawyer. Are you just going to throw it away? It's not throwing anything away, but like with the vast, like always look at what you've gained, right? Like all the experience that you've gained, and that take that with you into your next step.
Tried everything. you know, nothing worked whatsoever. And it was almost like, and we're all at, you know, 10 o'clock at night, mindlessly scrolling through Facebook.
Yep.
And I kind of seen that the yellow of 1 year no beer without really seeing it, it had kind of crept into my
feed.
Psyche. Yeah. And every morning I was waking up, oh God, I've done it again. I feel like shit. And I just, why do I wake up every morning thinking I'm not going to do it today? And then every tea time there's a glass of wine and it's not getting really drunk. It's just drinking every day when you don't need to. So one night I finally actually clicked on 1 year no beer and absolutely and utterly saw it as a lifeline, as a chance of something different, and dived in beyond belief, because I'm quite, if I do something I don't
all half-hearted. In same as whatever you do, you're all yeah. in.
Same as drinking, same as anything. I'm not going to do anything half-heartedly. And amazing. I utterly and completely dived in. I think day one for me was the 4th of June, 2021. I remember my last drink. It was a San Miguel top in a pub on a Sunday afternoon. And I thought, that's my last one. And I dived into all the daily videos. I started my day with you for 90 days. 2 minutes of brewery every bloody morning.
What happy more day. Could you possibly ask for than have me for 2 minutes every day? Well, sometimes 5 minutes.
Happy bloody brewery. Yeah. And I stopped absolutely dead because it is all or nothing. And I signed up for 90 days originally. Mm-hmm. And I went through... and the two things I dived into were the daily videos without fail and the journaling and my reasons why.
Great, great.
And the Facebook group.
Yeah.
And I think we all know now that the Facebook group is something extremely special, or the Slack group, the community
is exactly.
something exactly. extremely special. I've made friends, you know, on the community. There are seven people I talk to now regularly on Messenger. They are my... call them girlfriends, call them life friends. There's
amazing.
Two in Australia, there's one in South Africa, there's two in Scotland, one in Northern Ireland, and one in Gateshead. Yeah. So, you know, we're a group who support constantly. The Facebook group's amazing. So totally dived into that. Didn't bother with the podcast. I was never a podcast person until I tried it yesterday, and absolutely embraced 1 year no beer. I was forever on the Facebook group, and that was my kind of crutch. And also invested heavily in alcohol-free beer and G&T, which kept me going, and I'd advocate that. Maybe not the wine, which is bloody awful.
Bloody awful.
And then I hit the sugar massively hard. Mm-hmm. And I never had a massive epiphany. I had lots of little epiphanies. Day 45 was the day I cut back on the sugar. It felt ready for the next step, and my diet changed for the better. Day 80 something was a kind of mental, this is really working. Mm. And I'm here now at day 265 with 100 to go to the 365. And it changed my life.
It's going to take a bit more time for that seed to really be sown. So again, compassion is our biggest key in helping or supporting anyone, and especially ourselves. Interestingly, compassion and the lack of it is what will probably turn you back to drink, make them drink more, make you drink more. Shame, guilt, anger, blame. Nope. All of those things are entirely unsuccessful at helping you change your relationship with alcohol and at helping anybody else change your relationship with alcohol.
In the time before I decided, no, I need to stop drinking so much, I spent a lot of years looking at what other people drank, you know, to try and say, oh, it's not as much as that person anyway. And, you know, everyone's functioning, everyone's successful, you know, that's okay then, I don't have a problem, because you do that. You know, but that's not really the point either. You know, whenever you're drinking alcohol and it's having an effect on your general well-being, you know, that's the limit for you. You know, you've got this space now, and it's about taking your life forward, not sitting in the life you had before and just having no alcohol in it, because that's not going to work.
No, but another point there is that because you're not drinking, you're going to have so much more time, because you're not going to spend time feeling rubbish, or you're not going to spend time running around getting the alcohol, which a lot of people mention in their journeys, that they didn't realize how much time they spend their day, how much what big proportion of the day that they actually spent thinking about alcohol? What time would be a good time to start drinking? What acceptable? And then, you know, buying the alcohol, drinking the alcohol, and then feeling hungover and all this stuff afterwards, right? It drags on. So when you remove the alcohol and all of a sudden you're like, oh, I have so much more time. If you don't fill that time, you'd be like, well, I'm so boring now. I don't do anything. Well, it's because it's not all of a sudden going to happen. You're going to have to make yourself busy, right? Because you're gaining so much time, time that you didn't have before, because before it just went into the abyss.
I am a completely different person. I cannot tell you. I was suffering from severe depression. I was on antidepressants and I'm still on them a little bit, but you know, my situation with the divorce is quite difficult, but I was on a very heavy amount of antidepressants and in counseling. So I had depression, I had anxiety, and I had paranoia, which was really horrible, I've got to say. And it took me about 90 days for those things. Anxiety, you know, is a big thing that just disappeared. When you give up alcohol, you return. I think that you actually become instead of return, because I don't ever think that I was what I am now. I've never, ever, ever been so confident in my life. Can you tell?
That's amazing. That's just so amazing. I love hearing that.
It's unbelievable. Like you become respectful of yourself and you're like, what am I? What have I got myself? You know? And you're like, actually, I've got a lot.
Ultimately, life is going to shift.
Yeah.
Something has to shift. If alcohol is too prevalent it's difficult for you to just turn it off, then there are reasons and there are shifts needing to be made in your life. And the reality is what you're going to do is you're going to use a period of abstinence to get a better perspective on your life and make those shifts, you know, change those good habits. And that's really what 1 year no beer is all about.
We need to take complete ownership of our own life and show up for ourselves every day. It's tough. It's creating change is tough. It's not supposed to be easy. That's why it's called change. You're changing away from something. But because we're stuck in, you know, our usual patterns and routines and way of life, it's going to be it's going to be very hard in the beginning, but it does get easier and does get better. But if it was easy, everybody would be doing it, right?
I'm going to go on an alcohol-free adventure. I'm going to go and discover what it means for me to love being alcohol-free. Now, compare that for a second versus not drinking, right? Not drinking, I'm holding against the tidal wave, I'm struggling, I don't know how I'm going to get through these events, I've got all this peer pressure and everyone around is telling me why am I doing it and I'm really trying to white-knuckle my way through it. Versus, no, I'm going to go on an alcohol-free adventure. I'm going to spend a year. Many people travel around the world for a year, right? Oh, you're going around the world for a year. How exciting. Yeah, I'm going to see lots of places and I'm going to discover South America and I'm going to discover Iceland and I'm going to go and hike and ride mountain bikes and it's going to be amazing.
You're right at the beginning. But the thing about climbing Everest is it's just one step each time. We don't want to fix everything straight away, but let's just choose something. What's the low-hanging fruit? And make a small incremental change in each one of those things. And what you'll be amazed with is just how much you can transform in your life in actually quite a short period of time. What is a year, right? A year in your whole life is not a huge amount. And it can transform so much.
Acknowledge what you want to change. And then you go and find, you don't need to know how now. You just need to know what it is that you want to change first. Change is hard. That's why it's called change. The opposite of change is staying stuck, doing nothing, comfort zone, which is comfortable, right? So if you want to break out of that pattern and go for something big, something change, it's going to get really uncomfortable. So all I can say there is get comfortable with being uncomfortable. As long as you are uncomfortable, you are growing.
That knowingness in yourself of something's not right. And I think that in big situations and small is something for us to really listen to and paying attention to what's going on. Like you look at your own, you know, the niggles that are going on, like, you know, when something's not 100% right. I think there's a lovely sort of thought when you look about I did a lifestyle recently on boundaries. Check that out. And just talking about how we are, our no's, you know, as a youngster, only at the sort of terrible twos, you learn your first no, which is no. And that no that we all know. And then as you get older, you become a teenager, your no gets a bit quieter because you're trying to fit in and you're trying to be cool and all that stuff. So then you first sort of, that's when you start like drinking and doing all the naughty things, because it's just like you want to fit in and be there. And depending what level or hierarchy you're in, the hierarchy of the group, you know, how much you'll be partaking there. And then as you, it's only sort of skipping forwards, I'm sort of skipping across the top. But as you get to your sort of late 30s, 40s is when your no comes back, but it's one of the resentment as opposed to one of constructive. So it's being really careful and listening to what's going on. So it's only, the only reason it's become resentment is because you've ignored those twinges of your body talking to you, or your intuition talking to you and saying something's not right here. And this has become a huge part of my life as well, is habit stacking. And I would then go out for a walk, because I realized if I went out for a walk, the excitement of looking at the trees and the flowers lasted a while, and that was good, but it kind of dwindled and it lost its spark. And then I realized I was far away and had to walk home, and it was like, ugh. Whereas now I could listen to a book, or I could, you know, or I could do something. And then that then led into me starting to record my thoughts, which then led into me talking to you about how I recorded my thoughts. And you said, Stu, you're journaling. And I was like, what? I'm journaling, because I was trying to get into journaling, and you were like, oh my gosh, I'm doing it, but I'm doing it my way. That's nuts. And then that journaling then evolved into me doing my podcast, which is just like, you just never know what's going to come. So it's just doing it your way and trusting the process, you know, brought me to so many realizations that kind of freed all of this angst I'd had to just be myself.
Controlling your food like this by trying intermittent fasting, you can actually build up your strength and willpower quite quickly, because you are holding back from eating and you're teaching yourself self-discipline. And in that self-discipline, it will overlay into other areas of habit change. So that's a real psychological benefit that you can get out of doing these kind of challenges, like you're doing the 1 year no beer challenge, and that you're trying to bring on other habits, is about self-control, building willpower.
Where I started was from a place of pain, a place of feeling stuck, wondering why things didn't work out for me, how, you know, what could I have done differently, etc., etc., etc. And so what coaching did for me was just opening up all these avenues that I thought were closed down to me, well, forever. I thought that, you know, I had missed my chance to go after those things that I dreamed of as a kid, as a younger girl, younger woman. And when I took up coaching, I realized, well, this simply wasn't true. If we change that internal dialogue to, like, we don't need it and we can break it, what we need to do is start understanding what it is that we really want. What do you really want? Now, this is a very loaded question. A lot of people go, oh, and not just moms, but dads or humans, high achievers, anyone who gets this question, they really struggle. They go, well, I don't know. All they know is that they want to, the key word is happy. They want to feel happy, but the fulfillment is the underlying thing.
If you have a choice between guilt and resentment, choose guilt every single time. And I was like, wow, mind blowing, you know? And I've repeated that so many times to clients, because they're like, what? And then some of them are like, well, can I choose neither one? I don't want either of those. And I'm like, I know, but sometimes we have to choose, you know? And it's like, if I go to this party, you know, am I going to have, I feel guilty if I don't go because I feel like they're expecting me to show up. But if I say yes, then I'm there and I'm resenting them. Or I'm resenting the person that brought me, or I'm resenting that it's going long, like my sister's parties never end, you know? And I'm like, why am I I'm resenting them because I am not willing to take care of myself. That's like sort of my new mantra. Like, you know, we have to change our mindset. Like, self-care is not selfish. And like, the best thing I can do for my kids is take care of me. Because if I show up feeling calm, feeling peaceful, feeling rested, feeling strong, you know, I am the best, most patient mother ever.
When it comes to self-care, where do you start? Well, the first thing you need to do is assess where you are in your life right now, self-care. How are you looking after yourself? If it's on a physical sense, how are you nurturing your body? Are you exercising? Are you eating healthy? Are you pruning? Are you pampering? Whatever it is that makes you feel good, because we need to reward ourselves. If you're struggling with the letting go of what we've done in the past, if you're not pleased with how things are gone in life, work, relationships, whatever, then look upon that yourself with self-love, kindness, and go, okay, I can do better for me, not for anyone else. Self-love means care and self-love for yourself. Don't worry about anyone else. How can you do better for yourself? How can you show up better and be better for yourself? That is where the magic happens. To be said is that motivation and positivity are both two very important components when it comes to creating big change in your life, going for a certain goal or creating a certain transformation in your life in some area. We need a bit of both of this. And I will say that motivation on its own and positivity on its own, that's not going to work. But together, these two components become extremely powerful. I like to do a visualization exercise where we really go and see it, taste it, feel it, breathe it, and really insert yourself into this outcome that you're looking to achieve and really feel yourself there. What is it going to feel like there? What does it taste like there? The tip of your tongue. What does it smell like? What can you hear? And when you do these kind of visualization exercises, you kind of pre-achieve these goals. So the draw to it, your internal compass towards this goal, is going to become so strong that, you know, it's going to keep you on track.
Voice inside your head, which is like, oh, go on, have a drink, you know, you deserve it, you've made it to 30 days or whatever it was. And I liken this to almost like a battle that goes on in your own head. You're just having it with yourself, and it's almost like there's two wolves inside you. And one wolf is the big bad wolf who's saying, go on, you deserve it, have a drink. And the other one is, you know, the new you, who's basically encouraging you to be healthier and looking at your life from a long-term perspective. And I realized very early on that the wolf that wins is the one you feed. And for me, that was so important, because I knew that the only way to stop this was to not feed that voice, that craving voice.
Many of us kind of have that slogan that alcohol wasn't my problem, alcohol was my solution, until alcohol became a problem. So that's where I found myself. But also, like a lot of people that, and I don't know, I know from the 1 Year No Beer community that there are a lot of people with similar stories to mine. They're successful, high achieving, accomplished in almost every aspect of their life, or so it looks from the outside. Yet there's this secret kind of spiraling pattern that's been happening around numbing out with alcohol, to the point that we realize maybe I need to do something about my alcohol use. And that's where I found myself about 3 years ago.
Life-changing, completely life-changing for me. And I can probably talk for my fellow members in the first Complete Control. I mean, I think so far we still have, some of us went to the continuation program, but even some old ones I have contact with, I think everyone is doing great, and they all enjoyed it, and still there, still doing great. So.
Well, this is the thing for us, right? It was the first one we run, and the nail-biting time, and yeah, everyone, you know, it's just amazing, and it's testament, I think, to the years of hard work and 1 Year No Beer and learning and what's good out there.
A massive, massive, deep, amazing, massive thank you from me, from Jen, who is here.
Hi.
Okay, so she's not really. I'm on my own. A massive thank you from all of us at 1 Year No Beer for listening to the 1 Year No Beer podcast. I don't know if you saw the message, but we have reached 1 million downloads. 1 million! 1 million! 1 million! 1 million downloads. Isn't that absolutely incredible? And I just want to say thank you so much for listening to our podcast.
I think it's a beautiful thing that's happening in this society now. You know, we're more talking about our problems more. We're talking yeah. about things before they get to that place, you know, because most people make changes when they hit a wall. And it's yeah. usually they've blown things up and, you know, things are real bad before they make the changes that they need to. And I think a lot of that is because, you know, we normalize, like you mentioned about overworking, right? Like the stress and the, I don't have time to yeah. go to the gym, yeah. eat healthy, make time to meditate, you know, spend time with my family, like whatever it is. It's always a really good excuse. And I think there's so many things in this culture that definitely perpetuate that. But ultimately, if you don't do it at some point, it's only going to get worse and worse and worse. And we'll come out in
choose your pain. Other ways. It's choose your pain. Well said. You can either yeah. choose to go into that pain and release it, let go, move on to the next level. You'll find more pain there. You will. You'll go deeper, yeah. but you'll release again and shift your life in good ways. Or you can yeah. keep avoiding it and it just comes out like toxic tar.
Even anyone listening to this podcast is somebody that wants to improve their relationship with alcohol, improve themselves as an individual. And just and get the best out of life. So I think we're all here on the same journey, really. So you know, it's a pleasure for me to be here today and just share my experiences. It's been great for me as well to just connect on a different level in terms of things that I've been going through my mind for many years that I just didn't have a way to release that. Or who to discuss it with that would understand, because if you speak with somebody that's not going through the same thing, mm. that doesn't understand, then I think you're going to get disappointed with how they respond because they don't know what you're going through. So if you're dealing with people that do understand what you're going through, or people that have got the knowledge to be able to respond in a way that's very understanding. That's also it's also a great relief. So I have to say that's been a big part of it.
Thank you for giving us a bit of insight in there. And I think the core part of this is really to even link back these patterns that we're running to these past traumatic experiences. And I think this is one of the significantly powerful parts of the program is. Well, if you look at all Gabor Maté's work, right? So Gabor Maté, you know, one of the great addiction gurus of our time. And he says that, addiction is a response to trauma. And don't ask, you know, ask what happened to you, not what's wrong with you.
It was great to go deep into the real reasons behind why we drink. And then go even deeper into, you know, patterns from our past that undeniably have shaped how we all show up today. And then once you've discovered these things and acknowledged them and sat with them and really thought about where they come from and why they play out over and over again, once you've done all that, you can't put the genie back in the bottle. You can't unlearn or unknow or unsee what you've discovered. And I think that's the magic of the program.
We are not guaranteed tomorrow. So look at where you are today. Is this the way you want to live your life? And if the answer to that is no, then you have to make the change. You have to have the courage to make the change. And it is the hardest thing you will do, but it is the best thing.
The 8-week boot camp where I was going to make just do this really hard thing for a short period of time for a maximized result.
All of you guys helped me through it. I'll never forget looking down off that cliff and seeing everybody down there that had jumped before me, and they're all clapping and cheering and chanting.
Yeah. You're like, I don't have a choice. I have to do
it. I had to do it, and I did it. Yeah. It was so freeing. It really was freeing because there was that part of me that was like, okay, I'm just not going to do this. I'm just not going to, but I did. Mm. I did.
Yeah.
And it was wonderful. And I would do it again.
So within the matter of seconds, you had already told yourself, you know, I am here. I am all in.
100%. Speaking about shame, it just melted away.
Mm.
I mean, that's as simple as I can. I mean, it just melted away.
Because, that shame that we carry with us, it's hard. It's hard. Mm-hmm. And being part of that group, I'll say it again, it really melted away. I felt accepted. I felt important. I felt cared about. And I was able to give that back also.
It's beautiful.
We promise you guys, this is going to be a really good season. And it's not about us. It's all about you. So don't forget to tune in and listen to maybe your next podcast, right?
Okay, that's the end. This is the pilot.
As long as you're having fun.
I'm so excited to get started with this podcast. Thanks for being a part of One Year Nobia.
Thank you so much for listening in. And I can't wait to see you on the next pod.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of the 1 Year No Beer podcast, where our mission is to share and tell the stories of the everyday heroes who are taking the steps to make a meaningful impact by changing their relationship with alcohol. If you want to join our community and find out more about the variety of benefits that you can enjoy by becoming part of our 80,000 plus members within our alcohol-free movement, then click the link in the show notes below.